Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. And once again, on these Wednesdays, they're wonderful days because we have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano, a man that knows the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, what it means, what it was, where it's going, like nobody else says and does than the judge. Judge, thanks for being here.
Pleasure, Gerald.
And, you know, we're moving up toward Easter time. You know, this was one of the covers of our Trends Journal back in 2000. And
is that George W. Bush that he's chasing?
No, that's one of the Goldman Sachs gang, I think. Just a different bunch of money changers. What's we have? J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs. I think it's a Goldman Sachs gang. But here it is, Easter time. What happened? I mean, was it 3 days after Christ drove the money changers out of the temple? He's on the cross.
Yeah.
And the money changers are in charge of the world again today.
Yes, they are. You know, the generation behind us, I don't want to get too deep into this, will probably see digital currency exclusively, and the government will be able to close your bank account if you don't take the vaccine that they want or say what they want you to say. It's terrible for human freedom where we're going.
Yeah, and that's your article that's coming out tomorrow. It's about freedom and liberty and how we lost it. You said when American colonists were oppressed by British governance, the word most frequently uttered in pamphlets, editorials, and sermons was not safety or taxes. It was freedom. Freedom. It's gone. You're not allowed to think for yourself anymore. I'll be the president, and I'm going to put together a misinformation cabinet so that you'll only believe the crap spewing out of my mouth and the clowns that I hire, the bureaucrats.
As absurd as that sounds, and I realize you say it with some sarcasm, it's meaningful because that's essentially what the Department of Justice told the Biden administration last week before the Supreme Court, in a case involving whether or not the Department of Homeland Security could coerce big tech into manipulating their algorithms so as to advance stories the government wanted and suppress stories the government didn't want. The DOJ actually told the court the government needs to correct misinformation in the marketplace. Stated differently, the government wants to regulate or control or influence the marketplace of ideas. The whole purpose of the First Amendment is to prevent the government from doing it, to keep it entirely and completely and unequivocally and unconditionally out of the business of speech.
You're right. Today, the loss of freedom comes in many forms. Sometimes it's direct, as when the government dictates the wearing of a mask and the reception of an experimental vaccine and punishes those who don't comply. No jab, no job. Remember that?
Yes. Listen, I worked at a place at the time. I worked at Fox, and the government coerced Fox and many, many, many other businesses, particularly businesses that had thousands of employees, into imposing that regulation on everyone. Now, it happens to have occurred when we were all at home. So it was harmless to a lot of people. But there were people who lost their jobs because they refused to accept an experimental vaccine directly prohibited by the Nuremberg Conventions. The government can't force you to take an experimental vaccine. And yet, it did.
Look at the crap they made up. You can't get together with people less than 10, only up to 10 people in your home. How about 11 or 12? How about 9 or 8? No, I'll make
it. They made it up. They made those numbers up. Fauci admitted they made it up. What is Fauci going to get indicted for what he did, by the way? But Fauci made that up. He made up the 6 feet apart up. They made up the mask thing. They just threw this stuff on the wall, and the Trump administration, the president was naive. He should have opposed it, but the Trump administration went along with it.
Yeah. And again, we've lost our freedom. And your article goes on and on to say it. And now, of course, things are just getting worse. And I'm very concerned about what's going on in Israel with the genocide in front of everybody's eyes. And now, as we had warned a long time ago, World War III has begun. And it's just going to keep escalating. And we just saw what happened in Moscow with the slaughter of, now it's up to 140 people are dead.
It's hard
to get on ISIS's.
Oh, so the story? So here, this is very interesting. How could anyone accept seriously the statements of the United States State Department, Gerald, within 55 minutes of the attack? The attack took about half an hour, but within 55 minutes of it, the State Department says two things. It wasn't Ukraine, and it was ISIS-K. How could they possibly have known that in that time period? It is now known that there were substantial connections to Ukraine, and it is now generally believed that MI6, the British intelligence, and CIA knew about this and helped not plan and plot it, but trained the people that planned and plotted it, and then they looked the other way. So this is an act of war by the West on Moscow, just like this crazy President Macron now threatening to send 20,000 French troops to Ukraine. That's an act of war. How long does he think those 20,000 troops will survive? Does he think that Russia's just going to let them sit there, armed to the teeth and ready to attack Russia? Of course not.
I guess little Katsun Macron forgot that it was a guy by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte that left Poland with 420,000 French troops to attack Moscow and came back with 10,000?
Yes.
Oh, those French troops, huh?
Yeah.
Imagine 410,000 young guys dying for nothing.
Well, that's what has happened in Ukraine. It's closer to 500,000. That's almost a whole generation of young men in their 20s. Factory workers, cab drivers, plumbers, electricians, gone. Gone for a fruitless, useless war that was resolved by a peace treaty before it started, until the West intervened and said, don't worry. We got your back. You're going to be our proxy war against Russia. We're going to use you as a battering ram to drive Putin from office. Oh, but don't worry about it. We got your back. Now, of course, the rats are deserting the sinking ship that Victoria Nuland, the orchestrator of all of this, left the State Department. She's up in New York at Columbia University. Polluting the minds of young people with blood on her hands.
You know, like George Collins said, it's one big club and you ain't in it. A clown like her gets a job at Columbia University. A guy like me with best-selling books, Trends 2000, Trend Tracking, a trend forecasting record like nobody else in the world. They don't teach trend tracking at Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Cambridge, Oxford. Nobody teaches how to forecast trends, because they don't know how to, but they would never hire me. I'm only some little, guinea from the Bronx. Why would they want me?
You are too intellectually honest for them. You don't mouth the party line for the academic elites. None of us does.
No. You know, you talked about Victoria Nuland. This is our cover of the Trends Journal going back to 2014. And Paul Craig Roberts, who was Reagan's former assistant treasury secretary, wrote an article in here. And it was about Washington is driving the world to the final war. He goes on to say Ukraine presented the perfect opportunity for Washington to advance its hegemonic agenda. In a speech at the National Press Club last December, which meant 2013, Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland boasted that Washington had invested $5 billion and non-governmental organizations, NGOs, in Ukraine for the purpose to, quote, teach democracy.
It was the purpose of overthrowing a democratically elected president. I mean, the U.S. literally paid for snipers in the streets to shoot at people who supported the government and who failed to support the coup. Yeah.
So this war is, by the way, here's the cover of the Trends Journal that went out yesterday. Democracy. An idiot's delight. And you got that little Macron there. Look at it's a freak show. And we got the freaks telling us what to do. Democracy's gone. It's finished. And now Trump is coming out. You know, you heard about his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who said...
Wants to develop Gaza into resorts and beachfront property. How despicable can you get?
That's genocide.
Yes.
By its definition.
Yes.
And now, you know, Kushner, by the way, Trump pardoned his father. This is from an article in Business Insider, August 1st of last year. Trump and his allies have burned cash at an alarming rate, making a donation even more important. Charles Kushner, the father of Donald Trump's son-in-law and the recipient of one of the former president's final pardons, donated $1 million to Trump's super PAC. Kushner pleaded guilty in 2004 to a host of federal charges, including witness tampering and tax evasion. In one of the more salacious aspects of the case, Kushner hired a sex worker to lure his brother-in-law, and then sent a video of their encounter to his sister. And Trump pardons this guy, and he gets $1 million for it.
Yeah.
That's the Kushner, everybody. This is the Kushner that Netanyahu, when he came to America, stayed at the Kushner family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here in New Jersey, yes. Since still stays with them when he comes to the U.S.
So that's who's running our country. It's a crime syndicate in front of everybody's eyes. So now going back to, before we move on back onto Israel, Russia's going to increase this war now. Tremendously.
Well, if the French send 20,000 troops there, if German generals over the prohibition issued by the German chancellor are secretly going to send Taurus missiles, what do you expect the Russians to do? Just sit on their hands? Of course not. Anybody that thinks that Putin doesn't mean what he says has another thing coming. This will be a major catastrophic defeat for NATO. And if NATO wants to widen it into World War III, it would be a disaster for Europe.
Now, you do a lot of interviews with a lot of great people, including Scott Ritter, Colonel Douglas McGregor, and others. What are they saying about this?
Just what I told you, that Macron is risking World War III by even talking about sending troops. First it was 2,000, then it was 20,000, then it was 2,000. Now he's going to send the troops to Romania for staging and preparation. But once those troops enter Ukraine, they're fair game. All of France is fair game once its troops enter Ukraine and aim their guns at Russian soldiers.
This is from this week's Trends Journal. Here's one of the articles. French general says his army is ready for war. The top French general wrote an op-ed last week that seemed intended to prepare the population for military conflict, stating that his forces are ready and the country should reset, and the forces will respond to any threat. General Pierre Schill, yeah, real Schill, Francis said France's ground forces wrote that the French forces are ready and could deploy 20,000 troops within 30 days. That's what you were saying. You ready what he says here? If you want peace, prepare for war. Well, can you imagine the stupidity of this? If you want peace, prepare for war.
If you want peace, prepare to defend yourself. But nobody's attacking France. The West has this myth, is perpetrating this myth that Putin wants to invade Europe. It's absurd. Putin just wants NATO out of Ukraine. That could be done in half an hour if saner heads prevailed. But Joe Biden wants to run for re-election as a wartime president. I don't know what he's going to do because Ukraine is on its last leg. The Speaker of the House of Representatives is in favor of the $61 billion in aid. But even if it comes, it's too little too late. Most of it stays here in the U.S. to build more equipment by the military-industrial complex to replace that which has been sent over there. So it's not like we're sending more ammunition. We're building more ammunition here to replace what we've already sent. I don't even know if the members of Congress understand that.
The latest article, another article in your Trends Journal, the people that's supplying Israel with the weapons of death are the United States and Germany. Those are the two countries that supplied all the weapons to kill what's about 33,000 people, over 70,000 seriously wounded,
yes.
70% of the people's homes being have been destroyed. And you ready? Lloyd Austin tells Gallant, that's the guy heading
that's the Israeli defense minister.
Yeah. He said, Israel's security bond is unshakable. Isn't that nice?
Joe Biden has given the Israelis a blank check, and they know it. No matter what he says about Netanyahu personally, no matter what Chuck Schumer says, no matter how badly he needs the votes of Arabs in Michigan, he has given Netanyahu a blank check to slaughter and kill.
So Austin said, your security bond is our security bond, and it's unshakable. You ready? The United States is Israel's closest friend, and that won't change. Who the hell is this slob to say this crap? Who are they to say what we, the people of the United States, should support? Who in their right mind that doesn't love genocide would support Israel? I don't support Israel. You're just a nobody. We only steal your money in the name of taxes and give your money to slaughter the people over there. Who the hell is he to say this? That Israel, in front of everybody's eyes, slaughtering these innocent people, bombing hospitals, schools, mosques, homes, and saying that the United States is Israel's closest friend, and that won't change. A murderous piece of crap who slaughtered people in Iraq. Lloyd Austin. A murderous piece of crap that slaughtered people in Afghanistan.
He's slaughtering people. He's slaughtering people in Gaza because he's shipping the military hardware and ammunition that the Israelis are using. The Israelis are engaged in genocide, and the United States has funded it. That makes the United States as liable for genocide as the Israelis are under the law.
Talking about genocide, the Human Rights Council, Anatomy of Genocide, whole report here. They're saying Israel is committing genocide by the facts. But they keep stealing our money and giving it to Israel to keep slaughtering people. Genocide, the deliberate and systematic destruction of a group of people because of their ethnicity, nationality, religion, or race. That's the definition, and that's what's going on.
Clearly, by any objective standard, that's what's going on. You know, Biden and Austin and Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan theoretically could be indicted by the International Criminal Court because they have facilitated funding of the genocide. They keep sending these statements to Congress saying it's a matter of American national security and it's an emergency, and that's why we have to send this this ammunition over now. And Tony Blinken signs it. That's an act of perjury. There's no American national security. There's no American emergency.
Well, your buddy over there in West Virginia, what's his name? Mnuchin? What's his name? Manchin? Yeah. He came out and he's saying the same thing about Ukraine, that our national security is at stake.
They buy the administration's line. Why do governments like to kill? Why do they like war so much?
We can't let Ukraine go through this. If it comes through the spring and we haven't helped Ukraine, God help us. This is what he said. This is the worst atrocity in history, that your children and grandchildren will be reading about, that we've done. This, what a clown. And if you can't understand that walking away from Ukraine now, would you give a huge green light to Putin and other authoritarian leaders around the globe? You really ought not to be shaping foreign policy. I mean, he's a clown. A clown.
And he's one of the more temperate, one of the more moderate, one of the more open-minded Democrats. But Gerald, when it comes to war, there's very little difference between liberal Democrats, conservative Democrats, liberal Republicans, conservative Republicans. It's the warfare, welfare, surveillance party in the Congress. It's 95% of both houses. They're in favor of all of that.
Isn't it sad?
It is sad. There are a couple there are a few lefty progressives and a few libertarians, but just a handful that agree with us. But when it comes to war, debt, wealth transfer, and spying, huge majorities in both houses of the Congress. The Constitution be damned.
Constitution be damned. Well, thank you, Judge. And by the way, you know, it's Easter time, and my friend Vinny Leota brought me some beautiful pastries from Villa Batte Alba in Brooklyn. Wow. And I have some Suidel here.
Oh, my God, you're driving me crazy. That's my favorite. That and a cup of espresso is my absolute favorite.
I know. That's my favorite, too. She got to end on a high note.
Absolutely.
Know?
Did you grind the beans this morning?
Oh, yeah. Mwah, mwah. Judge,
all right, my man. Buona Pasqua, as we say to fellow Italian Americans. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Buona Pasqua. And thank you for all that you do in bringing as much as you can peace, freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness back to America.
Thanks for all you do. And thanks for all these good times we have together, no matter what we're talking about on Wednesday mornings. Thanks, Gerald. All the best.
Ciao, ciao.